Got the Folds of Honor jacket on, dude. I'm here, man.
I love
it's
it.
Weird, it's weird seeing you without a hat.
I know. Yeah, actually, I have hair. My wife tells me I should never wear hats because
you have a good set. Hair.
Yeah,
yeah,
you do.
You got nice hair, bro. I've never seen you without a hat either.
We're letting it flow, dude. Rumor has it, doctors have told me that I'll have hair till I'm 90. I said, there's no chance I'm living till I'm 90. You have not seen the amount of things I've done to this body. So, but my hair will be here until I croak, that's for sure.
There you go.
Dude, you're going to be, GRC 2086 coming to you.
We're going to be the seniors. I'm in a cane. They're just, can I still putt? Is it a scramble day?
Hit everything and I'll putt it.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Do you get stressed out doing GRC?
You know, I wouldn't call it stress. I think I get performance anxiety.
Yeah.
Which, you know, some people have experienced in the bedroom. Me personally, I don't experience it there. I experience it at the GRC. So yeah, no, I really just want to put on like the best possible event for everybody. And so I think I get like I think about too much. And I can't control every detail. So it's not really stress. It's just that there's no way to control all the details. And my mind like wants to make it perfect for everyone. Yeah. So I end up like getting frazzled like mentally. But it's not actual stress. It's just I'm not smart enough to be able to do it all at once. Like I can't multitask. So it's I think that's the biggest part is that if I could multitask, I would be a lot on the outward appearance, more calm, cool, and collected.
Well, you do. You seem cool, calm, and collected the whole time. And you do a great job. Like, there's no complaints at all, honestly, except for the size of the t-shirt.
Except for the size of the t-shirt
and the emails. The amount of emails and the size of the shirts. Those two things.
I got to figure out how to send less emails. I don't know how I can remedy that because I get this impulse.
No, you're good, dude.
I got to know about this. There's got to be like a better way to do that, but I don't know.
No, I'm just an asshole. That's all. I just don't do good with like group chats. Like if I see it and it's like it's not directed towards me, I just move on to the next thing in my life.
A nice WhatsApp would be nice. I've thought about doing the WhatsApp honestly, and the Golfify app. Like the message board is pretty sweet, but it's for the larger informational things. There's got to be a better way. Like email just sucks, and it's like I'm not going to post it to like a running Google Doc or something. I guess maybe I could do that, but there's got to be a better system for like consistently notifying large groups of people than email, and I just don't know what that is.
It's got to be WhatsApp. I mean, WhatsApp probably is the move, or if there's not some out there, there you go.
I know. Yeah, someone create you new business.
Yeah,
Levi. Please close all other browser tabs. That's the notification I'm getting from Riverside right now.
P-Hub.
He's living like he was living at the GRC, just full blur. Everything is just synonymous to his mental state at the GRC. A little bit buzzed.
Yeah, that was rough, fellas.
All right, we made it.
Takeaways.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad I got to go, man. It was super fun, but I learned some things for the next time. That's for sure.
Like what?
Don't go out with Tony until 2 p.m. on Friday night.
Yeah.
All of us have to do that at least once to know not to do it ever again.
Yeah, I mean, it was super fun, but I was just cooked the rest of the weekend. Definitely affected me playing for sure. I think I was just tired. I can't do that anymore. Because I felt like I played pretty damn well on Friday with Will. That was a hell of a match. I hit a lot of great shots and we played well together. And then the next 2 days, I just felt like I played terrible, so gotta pace myself.
That's the balance with GRC.
Not 20 anymore.
Yeah, that's the balance with GRC, right? Like you go there to have a really good time, and you want to take advantage of having a good time, but you also want to play really good golf. So it's like, do you go out and gamble and party and drink all night and then do other, you know, curricular activities? Or do you sleep in and be kind of like antisocial and try to play your best game the next day? So it's a hard balance, man. But you definitely fucked up, Levi. But it's okay. You live and you learn, dude. You'll not make the same mistake next year.
I would even say that's the move, because Eric was in bed before all of us, and Eric didn't play and he was sober the whole time.
Yeah,
and Eric didn't play out of his mind.
If Tony was out till 3 a.m. Friday, what he did to me on the course Saturday, he needs to stay out till 3 a.m. every day.
That well, guy Tony, was Tony told me that night.
He's probably at 74 at Saguaro.
Yeah, because I was like, dude, at like probably 1, I was like, dude, I have to go or you come in. And I was like, I'm going to play terrible tomorrow. I'm going to be so tired. And he's like, I play really well when I'm tired, so I'm probably just going to stay. And I was like, I don't want to just like leave you here because I'm afraid you're not going to make your round in the morning. Like you're first off.
Where'd you guys go?
We just went out in Scottsdale. Went to like,
Yeah,
I can't even remember what the place was called, but it was like this huge bar. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it was fun. And then we were at his buddy's house for like the last 2 hours of that until like 3 a.m. just talking and, it was rough, dude. I finally was like, I just ordered an Uber. Are you coming? And he's like, yeah, I'll come. And I was like, okay, God, I should have done that like 2 hours ago, but whatever.
Tony says he plays better on those days where he's been out all night. I was like, I don't know, man. That seems kind of suspect, but Kamish, you played with him, man. How did you play?
I can attest to that is an absolute correct statement. That guy hit the ball. I mean, I think I hit it decently far. Like I'm not a bomber, but I hit it decently far. Tony was parking lots ahead of me when I hit like a pretty decent shot. And I mean, his swing is so quick and truncated too. It's just like, and I mean, it's like watching Nick Price out there, but it wasn't even really that. His putting was dialed. His driver was just, it was an absolute mammoth, but he had some squirrely ones too, but his recovery game was insane. He hit some gnarly chips at like pretty critical moments. I mean, I played terrible that day, so I can't really say it would have mattered, but Tony, like you can tell, Tony is a seriously good golfer. If he would put some like focus at it, maybe that's the opposite way if he needs to be out till 3 a.m, but he can shoot in the 60s with his eyes closed if he's, you know, at the range grinding it out, I guarantee it. That guy has some serious game.
Well, I think at one point he was, in fact, like he had his pro card at one point, and I think he was pursuing it. And then I think it just got too much for him or something. I mean, it's a lot, man. I mean, playing with Richie as long as we have, like to see how good he is and see him like win club championships, and in our eyes, he's like the best golfer we know. And then the guys that are even above him spend like 8+ hours every day, like just getting after it. It just takes a different level of, you know, practice, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, Richie told me too, but next year I'd love to go, me, Tony, Richie, and throw like Nolan in there, another zero, and let's get a film crew out there. That would be because if Tony's playing his best golf, watching him versus Richie would be pretty sweet. I would enjoy watching that.
If you're going to have a film crew for the Aces, you got to have one for the Hacks too, bro. That would be super fun.
Both sides of the spectrum, 100%.
And then the in-between. I'm like the in-between. Sometimes I'm a hack and sometimes I'm okay.
Yeah, you guys don't get much camera time. That's the problem with the in-betweens. We're going to get the lows and the highs 100%. Next, maybe GRC9, we'll get the in-betweens as well. But yeah, I really would love to get a couple people out there to do some filming. It's just been a cost issue, but if I could get just like 2 cameras on the course, like follow this group, follow that group, then, you know, after 9 holes, go after random people. I think like the content we could get from it would be pretty electric. So I'm hoping I can make that happen. But
what do you want to do with the content? Like, what would be the goal? Are you trying to like grow GRC? Are you trying to monetize it? Like, what's your dream, Kamish? Because obviously you put a lot of effort into this, a lot of time. Yeah. You think about it a lot. You want to get some content out there. Like, what's ideal for you, brother?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you how it started, and then we'll kind of get to where we're at, because that's kind of the journey. So, but really where it started was like, I grew up, you know, baseball, basketball, football, soccer, whatever. And it was always just sports, 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 everything. Tinkered around with golf, but never really pursued it as any sort of, you know, sport athletic endeavor. And after high school and a couple years of college, thinking I could still play basketball, I realized I don't have a competitive outlet after I graduated. And so I started playing a lot of golf. I'm like, and I was terrible. Like, I mean, terrible, but like, you know, 20 handicap, probably something like that. No offense to the 20 handicaps out there.
Yeah,
but
so you're talking about me right now?
I'm terrible, bro. So
for perspective, your game is consistent. I was like a 20 with hitting like left, right, left, top. Right. But my short game has always been really good. So I was like, I could hit the ball horrendously bad and I could still like find a way to shoot a 93 or something. So anyways, I was like, you know, I want to set these goals. I want to like compete in this and I want to make it, you know, some sort of pursuit. So we actually ended up finding a tournament that, which you know, Quentin, Andrew's dad ran in the desert. And it was a Ryder Cup event, like guys in their 50s, 60s. And but it was so much fun. It was like 16 people and it was a competitive outlet. So we did that a couple years and I'm like, this is awesome. Like I'm probably, I don't know, 26, 27, maybe 28. There was a lot of things we wanted to change, though. There was a bunch of sandbaggers. You know, the swag was terrible. It was like, it wasn't what we would want it to be. And every time we left, like, man, if we could just change this, it would be awesome. And so that's kind of how the GRC started was we're like, let's just create a super fun competitive thing where like something we can compete in every year. And I was probably, you know, 12, 13 handicap at the time or whatever. And I didn't really know what I wanted it to be. I just knew that I wanted it to be a sweet group of guys come out, compete. And like, honestly, the competition was the biggest thing at the time. And then, you know, you speak of Richie and Tony and all this stuff. Now, I didn't even know what that level of golf existed. Like at the high level amateur and competing at mini tour events and this type of stuff. I didn't even understand that. I just thought, want a real competition that people can, you know, invest in and like look forward to winning and competing in. So that's kind of how it started. And over the years, it's morphed into something even cooler, which is friendships, golf trips, you know, growing, donating to organizations like Folds of Honor. And then now with the content, it's like, I just think it's really fun to make it something that people get excited about. Because when hearing you guys say it's your favorite weekend of the year, people talk about it for months after, we're doing podcasts about it, like that just fires me up in a way that it's increasing everyone's enjoyment of life, also the game, and there's still the competitive aspects of it along with everything else. So I don't have like a vision of what I want it to be. I've always thought I don't want to restrict it. I don't want to say, okay, it's only going to be 20 guys, or I want to grow it to a 200 person tournament. I don't have any of those desires. I just want to keep making it the most fun weekend of the year for everybody. And if that grows to 100 something people, okay, as long as it's still awesome. And yeah. I think the content side of things is where I struggle. I'm just not a great content guy. So I've noticed, you know, doing the videos and posting, like people see it and they're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And if we can just spread the GRC love to more people and get more awesome people like Levi, James, welcome back, obviously. And, you know, all the new people here this year, then that's what it's all about. You know, hearing people talk about their life, their work, their kids, their, you know, their faith, all this stuff. That's what it's all about now. So I don't really know where it's going to go. And that's kind of the cool part is just let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry,
but that's like the explanation behind
it. No, I mean,
it's perfect. You know, one thing that I really looked forward to this year is like seeing all my old friends from San Diego. You know, exactly. I moved away and I haven't seen Wilden for a long time. And I really look forward to doing that. And then there's obviously people like Frutos and Jeremy and all these other guys that like, I only see once a year. And every time I see him, it's always a good time. It's always a blast, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's more, like, probably one of my favorite things. And then we just played like some of the coolest courses, like Palm Springs. We played all the good golf in Palm Springs, I feel like, over the years. But like this year was amazing. I mean, we played one of Richie's favorite courses. That says a lot. So it's amazing.
And yeah, I agree with Ricky. I think Choya is better than Saguaro. Hot take. But I agree.
Choya is the
most
best course out of that entire weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. And all the people online are saying Saguaro, Saguaro, Saguaro. I disagree. I agree that Choya is a better option for sure.
Was that the second day?
Choya was first day.
First day.
Oh, yeah. That was way better. Yeah. That was number one for sure. For me, at least.
I played like that. Yeah.
And we knew going into it that TPC Scottsdale wasn't going to be this wow factor. Yeah. It was just convenience to the airport. I knew it would be easier. And typically the feedback we got from the Pirates, because the Pirates lost for a few years in a row, was that on Sunday we were playing these really hard courses, you know, the stadium course at PGA West and then Silver Rock and these other places. And they're like, look, on the final day when we're playing our own ball, like we want something that's a little more open, it's a little easier, not quite as deserty, difficult. Yeah. And so, you know, that's the logic for doing it that way. I think we're at a point now where we have better golfers. The Pirates won. People understand it. But yeah, we knew that TPC wasn't going to be the Wekopa factor. Wekopa was just, it was awesome. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. One thing, you said about the competition outlet, for me, man, that's like been like the very similar, because I very similar, like growing up playing sports. And then you get to a certain age, like even being in like just men's leagues, like basketball leagues, it just fades a little bit, right? The bodies take a hit, we get busy with life. So it's hard to be as consistent with like, you know, that kind of competition. But for me, it also just fired me up a little bit more to try to just play more. I want to play more tournament golf, hands down. Like I really do, just because the difference in playing with your friends and the amount of pressure you have on your shoulders versus like knowing that, hey, my team needs me, I need to hit this shot. It's night and day, dude. And that's why I think I played so bad the first 2 days, and not even my best golf on the last day, was because I was just in my own head, like being like, dude, I've been looking forward to this. I've been hyping this up. I want to play well. I want to do well for my team, for myself, to brag, all that. And then I'm over here shooting double bogeys and shit. And you're like, what am I doing? I forget how to play.
Well, for one, you rinsed Ben on the final day and your driver was spectacular on the back.
Thank you.
I thought you played great. Honestly, Sunday is the hardest day by far. And you played super well in the critical moments. And that's what it's all about, to your point, the competitive aspects. And to take a step back, Q, like kind of one of the big purposes was we wanted a lot of our friends to also pursue golf, because we knew how good it is for our, you know, spirit, mind, body, all these things. And if we had a GRC where it was competitive and it was yearly, it's something to practice for, to try to play your best at. And if you don't practice, or you know, to your point, go out late, you isolate, whatever it is that isn't working, you're like, okay, well, how do I do that differently next year? And then maybe I practice 2 months before. And then after, when you leave, you're fired up for tournament golf. You go and you practice more and you play more, and then you get better over the course of time. And then you want to do it more. And it's just, I think the mental benefits of golf are amazing. And my hope is that the GRC keeps more people like staying consistent with the game. It doesn't have to be like, you know, the Richie, you know, USAM grind, but it can be. And that's awesome. And if it's somewhere between there and like never playing, then that's a win. And it brings people together, to your point too, Q. You know, I think friendships will.
From someone who's been doing it, how many GRCs has there been now?
Five so far.
Oh, seven. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're like, obviously, I think you're almost a scratch golfer, right? You've been playing. You've gotten your score down. Yeah. Like, what is, you know, and this could be a Richie question too, but like for me, I feel like I might have over practiced and over prepared because I was hitting balls and thought that was going to help me. And then it also got in my head, I feel like. But it was all indoor, it was all simulator. So I'm just curious, like, I feel like sometimes maybe the best thing you can do is like prep, and then not swing a golf club for like a week or two beforehand. And then I don't know.
Well, I'll let Richie answer too, because he's been kind of coming in and out of Wi-Fi. Looks like he's stable now. And, you know, I've competed in like the Houston Amateur a couple times and a couple of the Texas mid amateurs and things that I've qualified for, but nothing to Richie's level. But I do study the game, and I listen to people that are better than me. So from a wisdom perspective, the best players in the world, like Phil Mickelson had a great quote. He said, the best thing amateurs can do before a round is stretch for 15 minutes and go chip and putt for 30. You don't even need to swing a club. Just get the feeling down of that low point contact. Get your putter rolling, because it all kind of backs out of the short game. And if you make a long putt, you're going to be pretty confident on that next tee, and vice versa. And so I do think there's an over grind point where you're going to wear your body down. You're going to find bad habits. Maybe you'll get frustrated with yourself, all these things. But there's a balance between, especially the day of or the week of just staying positive, staying loose, and not overdoing things. Also being aware of what's struggling. Like my driver was terrible day one and day two. So on the range before day three, I'm like, I'm playing against Richie. I'm going to get absolutely waxed if I can't hit this driver. So I'm like, I got to find something new. Sometimes you got to change it up, change up a swing thought, find something new that maybe just starts to feel good and be positive with that and take that into the round. You know, you got to dance with the girl you brought. You can't go to the bar, you know, trying to find every loose straggler out there. It's, might not work every time. So, I mean, maybe you might find something, but more consistently, you bring that girl that you have every single week and you just make the best experience of it that you can, will usually benefit more. I mean, Richie probably has more thoughts on that than I do.
Yeah, a lot of thoughts. specifically centered around gin mill and late nights. But we'll save that for a different podcast.
God bless gin mill.
No, it's super. It's a we could probably have a series of podcasts around pre-round prep and tournament prep and all that. And I think it's very individualized to person. And also it depends on the stage of golf you're in and what you're preparing for. And going back to where I was going to interject when Levi was talking about just how he approached GRC. And one of the very first things I told Levi when he was signing up for GRC was, you've never played golf 4 days in a row, let alone gone on a golf trip, you know, specifically like this. So just that in itself is going to cause you some mental kind of roller coaster aspect of your golf game. Right. So, it's just a matter of getting comfortable with the setup and knowing, you know, it's just golf. Even though you're on a golf trip, even though you're in a quote unquote tournament for the first time, or, you know, whatever your situation might be in, it's just getting comfortable, figuring out what works for you. And like I said, you got to go through the late nights with Tony at least once to know you should never do that again.
I'm up for that next week.
I've been there before. And then coming down to like pre-round prep, I mean, it just depends, man. Like I'm at the point now where I change it up all the time. Like if I get to the course and I just feel like warming up, feel like getting a good range session in, I'll go do that. A lot of times, even at my club events or even at like tournaments around Colorado, I might show up to the tournament and be like, I'm good on the warm up. I'll hit a couple drivers, a couple wedges and go to the first tee. Other times I'll spend 45 minutes on the range grinding because I got to find something, to Austin's point. So it really just depends. You'll figure out what works for you. And I would say bottom line is just trust what you're feeling.
Yeah.
If you're feeling like your swing is lost, maybe go to the range. If it doesn't work, next time, you know, if your swing is lost, maybe just go to the first tee and say, okay, go back to my roots and try and find what feels right.
Do you think there's such thing as over practicing before something like this, Rich? Like to James's point earlier, like we practice, and then finally the big day comes and you just can't perform the way that you were hoping for. It's just all in your head.
Yeah, a lot of it's mental, but a lot of it is also, what kind of prep were you doing? You're hitting on a mat in a garage. When was the last time you hit off of a fairway that actually had growing grass before this tournament, right? Probably 3, 4, 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Before this tournament. So it's a very different feeling and it's a very different swing thought. Like in your garage, you're like, all right, every contact is clean. So and all my balls are going, you know, 280 yards with a little bit of a draw or whatever. It's a lot different than when you get out in Arizona with the wind, with the elevation changes, with the cold, with the hot, with the, you know, status of the match, with, you know, what you did on the last hole, how you're feeling. So again, it goes back to that point, just kind of trust yourself, what you're feeling, man. And, you know, as you play in more and more of these types of rounds and tournaments, whether it's local during the summer or destination during the winter, you'll figure out what works for you.
Yeah. From someone who was, you know, like a mid-teens handicapper that was like, I'm going to shoot even par at Torrey Pines. I'm going to compete in these state amateur events. I'm going to do all this. And I had a long period to train and prepare for all that. It's the mental side is the biggest side. Like we all have the athletic ability. I mean, you talk about yourself, James, you're like, I played terrible, this and that. Completely disagree. Like, your swing is really good. You're an athlete. You make contact with the ball every time. Like, that's a huge thing that most people don't have in golf, and we all can do that. It's a matter of, like, where's your mind at? And if you're overstressing, overthinking, you don't believe in yourself. I mean, it's just like life. You know, you go to a job interview. If you're not, like, relaxed and you're not being yourself, and you're not, and you got to prepare so you know what you're talking about, but you can't study if you're working at a Telium, for example, Quentin. Like, no one's going to know how to talk about Telium if you don't work there. So you read the website, you check it out, you figure out what you're going to do, and then you look at the person who you're going to interview with, and you kind of assess their personality trait, and then you're like, all right, let's grab a coffee, let's believe in ourselves, let's be honest, and let's tell them why I want to be here. So you prepare to a degree, but ultimately, like, you kind of have to take what you got. If you haven't prepared to the point where you think you're going to excel in that job interview or on that round or whatever, to Richie's point, it's like, hey, let's go to the first tee and let's see what we got today. And
I think
you can't be better than what you're going to be or you're capable of. And you have to kind of accept that and be okay with that and just be yourself. If you're being yourself and you're playing your game, your swing, you're going to play so much better than if you're trying to be perfect. I got to hit this fairway. I got to do that. I got to do this. Like, well, you're not perfect. We're going to miss fairways. We're not that good. So let's just, like, let's enjoy and let's, like, you know, be okay with who we are and just be honest and then go make the best out of it and be positive.
I think Tony and I are a good example of that, because if you look at Tony and I side by side, our swings are completely different, and neither of us has a quote unquote like perfect swing, right? Yeah. So a lot of amateurs, and I see this, you know, in my friends and at my club and stuff, they go out there trying to find that perfect swing, right? And you're never going to get it. And even if you do, that doesn't result in success always. And, you know, if you look at Tony and I, we've played golf our entire lives at multiple different high levels, and we don't have perfect swings. We use the swing we have because it's reliable and we know what the ball is going to do. So it's the same thing. It's just trust what you got, work with what you got, and go make it work.
Yeah, I think for me personally, I think where I lack is the confidence in knowing I can just go out and just, like, stop overthinking it. And I think that's just, like, we all know the mental side of life is, I mean, that's, like, the differentiator, right? If you're strong between the ears, then you're going to succeed in a lot of things. But for some reason with golf, it's like I get so hyped up, I get so, like, competitive and want to play so well, and it's like, dude, just fucking trust your athleticism, trust this, and it's just so much easier said than done.
Oh, dude, do you know Bob Rotella? Are you familiar with the name if I say Bob Rotella?
Yes, he is. The books that I've been reading.
Oh yeah, the putting books.
There's a book called Golf Is Not a Game of Perfect. I would encourage everyone to read that. I did it before I finally broke the seal and made it through these qualifiers that I was going for. And it's just exactly what you're talking about. It's literally a game of misses. Nobody hits the shot they're trying to exactly hit more than like maybe 2 yards around. Best pros in the world talk about it too. But it's a game of misses. And it's a game of just understanding and accepting that, just like life. We're all missing the mark every 5 seconds. But if we try our best, we prepare our best, and we do our best, like, our miss is going to be pretty good. And that's really what it comes down to. Then your mind starts to reframe of like, oh, that was actually a great drive, you know? And you start to build positivity, and that gets infectious over the course of a round. Bob Rotella is amazing. A lot of great books, but it's all in that mental side. Like, I mean,
well, I have to give credit to, being partnered with Richie on the last day. I mean, there was just countless holes where I, you know, I was like, I mean, you were with us, Austin. Like, I went down
that,
too, right off the bat.
When you hit that, like, almost down into the cart, like, ditch thing or whatever, and it hits the railing, and you got up and down. That was crazy, dude.
Yeah. And I was, made it. I almost conceded the hole, and Richie's like, nah, bro, like,
you almost won the hole.
Yeah. He's like, dude, no, this is where, he's like, just play your ball and this. And then he pumped me up, and then sure enough, dude, I just put a swing on it, and it happens. You're like, That's okay. It's a simple
game. You gotta have fun with it, and you have to be like, you got to accept who you are too. My buddy Ben, who I played with, like, he's like, you're always overthinking everything and doing this and that. I'm like, dude, I talk about a lot of things. I overthink a lot of things. It's okay. Like I have a positive attitude inside. I may be saying that, oh, I'm short-sighted and this and that, but what I'm actually telling myself is like, this is a challenge. I'm going to overcome it. And it's like, so, you know, your outward kind of thoughts and appearance might be different than what's going on inside. And golf's about like looking in here and saying, okay, like what's actually going on? Do I believe I can do this? Because I'll tell you what, Sunday morning, I did not believe I could compete with Richie in any realm. But after the first couple holes, I'm like, all right, I'm here. I'm in this round. I'm going to have to play good to do this. I can do this. Let's just see what happens. And you
start to
build it and build it. And it's like, but you know, it's hard. It's hard. If I wasn't hitting the driver good, my brain could have slipped down the negative path. And it's part of kind of trying to keep yourself there. Sometimes you do it good and sometimes you don't.
This might be a good time to talk about fucking sprinkler heads.
Oh my God. I've told so many people about this. Random people at this club where I work at, I've told them about that. Like the story is infamous. It is. I mean, do you want to tell it or James or me? I mean, it's insane. One of the craziest things I've ever seen.
I'll let you do it, Kamish.
I mean, it was a wild scene of events. So we had a great match, like all throughout the day. It was teetering back and forth. We had probably some of, you know, like down the stretch, like that, what was that drivable par four? Richie drives the green, basically. I thought I was in the bunker. I was over the green. I got up and down for a crazy birdie. Richie two putts it in. And we're like, we went like birdie, par, par, par. I think he shot maybe one under par back nine or something like that, or maybe better. But we come to 18 and Richie's down one. And I hit a safe shot up the middle. Richie rips the driver, obviously full confidence. And hits a beautiful shot, and it catches like the top lip of the bunker. Two more feet, and it goes over the bunker and probably down to, I mean, I don't know, 110 yards from the hole with a great angle. But it catches the bunker. I have to go first. I hit a 6-iron over the green, barely over, but it's over. Not an easy up and down. And Richie's like short-sighted on this bunker, basically. There's a huge lip in front of him, probably like a 180 out downwind. And Ben and I are looking at it, we're like, thinking I've won, you know, it's like, this is it. And I'm like, dude, just watch the shot like this. And he looks like he changes clubs and kind of goes back and forth. He's assessing all this stuff. And we're just watching. We kind of drive up close. And this Richie takes the club back. And the sound of the club on the ball was legitimately the most pure thing I've heard on a golf course. Just like it was sounded like flush to fairway 7. I don't know what club he hit, but out of the bunker, just moonballs it up in the air. And if you played with Richie, you know, he hits kind of a lower trajectory flight. Like it was the opposite of his flight. So he manipulated his swing in that moment to hit a moonshot out of this trap. And it's going, and we're watching this thing. We're kind of from the side angle. So we're seeing the green, the pin, the hole, and we're watching it. And Ben's like, that's going right at it. I'm like, oh, that's right. The stick. Oh, it's going. And it just keeps getting better and better and better. And we're like, this thing's going to, he's going to stick it to like a foot. The ball comes down. And we're looking at the ball, and we just see this. The ball just disappears. It just disappears into the abyss, straight up. And Ben and I are looking at each other like, do we just see what just happens? Is that a bird? The ball hit a sprinkler head on the front of the green, like in the fringe, where was the perfect spot to land it. Because you couldn't have landed on the green. It would have rolled out. Hits a sprinkler head and goes like 60 feet in the air and like 40 yards over the green into the sand. It was, we're just looking at each other. We're like, that is the most depressing way to end a phenomenal match. I mean, he should have been a couple feet from the pin and probably makes the birdie. And I'm not going to make a birdie from where I was at. And we would have tied the match. And it was just, it was one of the most unlucky things I've seen. We're all just like shocked. All you could do is like laugh about it. Cause there's nothing else to do. It was like,
so Richie lost us GRC is what you're saying.
It was just so crazy. It was one of the best shots I've ever seen and one of the worst results I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it was crazy, dude. It was, and I've thought about that before where I'm like looking at the greens and walking around the greens. You have a lot of time at a lot of these tournaments I play at, right? So I'm like walking around the greens and stuff, and I'm always like taking note of like sprinkler heads or whatever. I'm like, you'd be surprised, like, no one ever hits these sprinkler heads.
No one hits them.
Like I've never done it. I've never seen it.
Not even on chips.
And of course, probably one of the best shots I've ever hit in my life.
just demolishes
right this. Dead in the middle of a sprinkler head that's like this freaking
oh,
big,
yeah.
dude. So funny, dude. But that's why you're playing these events, man.
It's
stories like that. And 100%. What Austin is leaving out is that the guy made so many putts.
Yeah.
He had a rough start. And yeah. I think it's because he was nervous. And, I mean, who wouldn't be?
I was sucking the previous 2 days, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he hits a drive on number three and it disappears. Should be in
that
the middle
was wild
of the
too.
Just gone.
Yeah. That
we
one
all thought it was
sense.
In the fairway.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're so he's gone. So he's down early. He battles back. He makes so many good putts. And he gets to that point. And so he deserved to win the match, let's be honest. But man. It's just a an unfortunate end to how that match
absolutely
came
unfortunate.
About. But yeah, dude, what an event. Thanks again for putting it together. Everyone had a great time. I think I'm going to put in a request to whoever drafts me next time to put me on opposite teams of Gabe and Alex. Because it's not fun playing three individual rounds in a row.
I personally had an absolute blast playing with Gabe. That was the most entertaining round
too.
I've ever been a part of. Ever.
He's a riot, dude.
How somebody can lose four clubs in a single round, including their four iron, is an absolute mystery. But Gabe, for whatever reason,
not if you know
able
Gabe.
To pull that off, dude. That was crazy, dude. Every hole we went to, he's like, dude, my bag is looking a little bit more empty. Like, what did I lose? What did I lose? And then by the end of the round, he doesn't have his fucking 56. He doesn't have his 60. He doesn't have his 4. He doesn't have this. And I'm like, oh, my God, Gabe, you're killing me right now. But it was incredible. And he played well. He literally won us that round. Like, I played my part. What's that?
Yeah. He plays well. Like, he's not a bad golfer.
When he hits a good shot, he hits a good shot, man. Like, there's no two ways about it, you know? But yeah, he was a hoot to play with, to be totally honest with you, man. So,
I think Alex was the big surprise because Alex is like a 7 handicap. And I think
he was,
you know,
dying, though.
He was, yeah. I think he had, you know, the illness kind of got to him a little bit.
Yeah,
but
he was dying, man.
And also petition to increase Colorado golfer handicaps by about
probably a good
25%.
Call. Yeah, that's a good call.
Because
100%.
As evidenced, none of us played to our handicaps.
Yeah, 100%. That's actually a great call. You guys should either just submit a 25% boost. I trust everybody in this group.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't make that many adjustments in the final day. It was very incremental. We've made a lot more in previous years, but we need to do that either before the event or just before, you know, Sunday or something. But yeah, I completely agree.
I'm just kidding. Anyways, we got
to
play to our
handicaps. It's true. It's hard to come off of not swinging. The same people have had the same feedback. So in Indiana, we had a bunch of people come from Indiana and then Missouri. And then Lucas and his boys, like, love Lucas. He's arguably one of my favorite people ever. But he never plays to his number at the GRC. And it's not because he's a good golfer and he's a gamer too. But he's, and it's not even that much off. It's just that he enters as a 14 and he's shooting in like 92s.
Yeah.
And it's almost the same every year because he just isn't practicing and isn't prepping. And the whole point of this was back to the original statement, Q, was like, the handicap adjustments have been so good in a bunch of years. We've obviously missed the mark a couple times, but more so than not, it's been a huge addition to making Sunday a super competitive day. And I mean, we came in tied this year and Sunday
and it was,
the last couple groups. So we did okay, but there's still like years where we miss certain things. And I completely agree. Anyone in cold weather climates should honestly get like at least 2 or 3 pops to start the tournament. And then if it's, you know, if you're like, hey, I'm playing more to my number, then we taper it back down. But it is.
Yeah, I think it's a fine line because I was emailing you separately. I'm like, hey man, put me as a 12. Like, I was a 10, but I was like, I don't feel like I'm gonna play at like a 10. And I probably should have said I was a 14, like, truthfully. Like,
you know, doesn't matter what number you know, there's a lot of, everyone has the ego in it and like, oh, I want to be this and that. It's like, dude, just play to what you know you're gonna compete at, because that's the whole point of this. But at the draft, to Richie's point, we're gonna have handicap numbers on the big board by your name. People are gonna know. So it's going to be a lot more transparency around what you enter at. And then if you see on the final day that you've made the adjustments, you know, it's, hey, is what it is. Be better.
Are we going to do like a live draft where you have like a live stream going and then everybody can join in and talk shit and everybody's going to have their cigar and their
drink? Is it going to be a
teaser here? I'm working on some things for where we're going to go. I don't want to say too much because I think it might fall through. I'm bummed that it might, but it's a cost thing. But what I'm thinking about doing is doing the Thursday day as the charity day. And so rolling the round into the raffle. Essentially, you pay for the charity round. That gets you access to the raffle. You can, of course, buy extra tickets day of, but you show up to the charity round, you do the raffle, and then right after the raffle is the live draft on Thursday night. So we're all in the same room. Everyone's there. Of course, some people maybe won't be there to do a live stream. But the idea is let's get everybody out there actually on Thursday and play the best course. You play your own ball, and it's not a high-pressure Sunday situation. Come out. You can have fun. It's for charity. We'll get some actual booths out there with, you know, drink vendors and everything like that, and roll right from that charity round to the charity raffle and do the live draft.
Two things. One, James is not allowed to enter into the raffle because he fucking wins and he always wins everything. So
James, yeah, you're out. He had the bag on Sunday.
When I heard that James won, I was like, go figure. Fucking James wins the grand prize.
Hey, that's just good karma visiting my grandma, dude.
Yeah. You weren't even there, dude. That's crazy.
After you canceled on her to go to the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the real story. James visiting his grandma. He had to bail on her for Fiesta Bowl.
And then my other question is, we don't know what team we're on until Thursday night, is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. So the idea, we're still going to try to do what we've always done, which is pair friends if we can. And the majority of it, but like you guys are in a unique situation because you have about 8 or 9 mm-hmm. people, and you also have a mix of low and high handicaps, which, you know, historically at the GRC, we don't have a lot of low ones. So we try to kind of match up low versus low. To Richie's point, the low handicaps, they want to play some like really elite golf with like another bunch of scratch golfers, at least one or two of the rounds. So it's hard to do that when we have a mix. So what we're kind of going to do is work with the captains, and it will be a live draft with the understanding and contingency that some people just are never not going to be pirates, like Jeremy. The guy tattooed himself, like he can be a pirate, you know? It's like he's going to get drafted to the Pirates. You know, for me, Kamish, like I'll probably be an OG because that's where we, you know, that's our brand of what we've been. But then there's a lot of folks that are like, yeah, I don't really care which team I'm on. I want to either compete against my boys, or I want a fair event, or I want to have like a really elite match. And so I think the live draft there'll probably be some situations where someone gets picked to a team that, you know, they don't want to. If you watch like an internet invitational where I forget which Barstool guy picked Bob Does Sports camera guy to away from the Bob Does Sports team. So it was all Bob Does Sports,
and then crushed.
Like the one guy was on the other team. So there may be something like that where like, you know, Q gets brought over to the OGs, you know, it's like, it could happen. So
I think my biggest thing with GRC is like, I know Richie wants to go and play like really good golf, and I know you want to play against good golfers. I just want to play with like the people I haven't hung out with for a while. You know, see Richie, I see James, I see Levi all the time. I want to play with Wilden. I want to play with, you know, like the very first day when I played with Miles, that was so much fun. Me and him were just goofing off the whole fucking time. And I just had a blast. I didn't care how I played. I mean, I want to win. Of course I want to win, but like it wasn't the main focus of my day. Like I just want to have time. So that's my thought process. You know,
it's a lot of people. That's been the feedback every year, which is why we've kept friend groups together and why we tried to pair people with, you know, folks that they either knew in the card or on the other side of the card. And that's never going to change. So that'll always be that way. The pivot to that is with this Thursday charity round. That's why I really would like to have that be like a staple, so that on Thursday, like you guys pick who you want to play with. You play in a foursome with all your boys. And it's completely for charity. You guys can come up with whatever games you want and we'll stack you. So like the, you know, Colorado guys are all in like back-to-back foursomes. So you can hit par threes together and do that type of stuff and kind of kick off the event that way. And then of course, try to pair people up as it goes. But I really think if we could get Thursday to be like a really big banger opening, like all friends, charity, do the raffle, do the draft and everything, I think it'll just like launch us into the week and kind of take care of some of those things that we were doing on Friday, that now we can just focus on doing some more fun events and dinners and stuff together and that type of stuff. So
Yeah. And personally, because the first year I did GRC, I was actually an OG. Then I was a Putt Pirate this year. And then the first year you split up our friend group. So I think it was me. I can't remember actually. I think me and Lucas were on the same team. And then
Lucas
that was
has
it.
Only been OG. So he wants to stay OG. And then vice versa. Yeah, you've gone back.
I don't mind. Personally, I kind of like him cool going against my boys. Like,
I love it.
I actually am fine with that just because I think that actually makes it a little bit more fun. Just because you know each other's games. You guys can talk shit beforehand and stuff like that. And well, then
I'm sure stealing Richie. So Richie and I are going to be on the same team. That's immutable. We're going to play head to head versus Tony and Nolan. And we're just going to rinse.
You guys have good battles going because you guys have played against each other twice, right? And Richie, have you beat Austin yet?
Nah, I haven't beat Austin solo yet.
Well, then that's what we got to do is you guys got to keep pairing up and seeing who.
I can't keep playing against these. It's such a mental stress on Sunday. Let me play with Richie 1 year and then we'll go back to it. Oh, dude. Yeah, the day that we played with was you and Eric versus me and Max on the day two. That was an electric. Until the sprinkler head, that was probably my favorite match and experience. That was crazy.
That was epic, dude. That was a crazy match.
The putt that Eric made, I made like a 45 footer, Quentin, and we thought we had won the hole. It was like hole 16 or something. Eric is in Narnia. Like, he has no business getting close to this and just absolutely cans one and then just Euro steps on me. I'm like, oh God. It was so nasty. I'm just like, I couldn't do anything but love it. I'm an FP fan. So, I mean, just, you know, obviously loved Euro, but it was a great, great match. And that was an insane putt. So
that was,
yeah,
that was
it'll be
fun.
I think the draft will be awesome. It'll be a way for like meritocracy to kind of be brought into it. Handicap transparency will be there. And I think to your point, Quentin, like what I loved about this year was that we were all in the same place. We all met at the sports book. We're all talking shit on Lucas's, you know, Packers and whatever else. Like, there was the 3-0 club was actually a club this year, which was awesome. I just thought that everyone got to know each other way more, and that is the biggest part of this whole thing. So I think if we can keep doing the stay and play type stuff and staying at the same locations, that when we do these drafts, you're going to get paired up with people that you kind of already know. It won't be like some rando that you've never seen before, which is, you know.
Yeah, I think that's the luxury of having done this 6 years, you know, like I know half those guys already. So if I'm on a team with Richie, James, and Levi, that's great. But if I'm on a team with, you know, Frutos, Pierce, and Jeremy, I know those guys too. And I've played rounds with them. So it's like, for me, it's kind of a toss up. It doesn't really matter. I like being a Putt Pirate just because I think it's a funny ass name and I just like the savagery of it. But, you know,
you are
the day, it doesn't really matter.
You like the savagery of it 100%.
I do.
And it sounds like for next year, I'm not sure if you know yet, but is AZ on the books again? Is that what we're thinking?
Use the platform to release the information.
yeah, dude.
AZ will not be on the books, actually. That is the surprise, I guess. I loved Arizona. I think it's amazing. And I think it should be a staple. And it will absolutely be in the consistent rotation. But I kind of, like, we're at a point where we're all, like, in our early, mid-30s. We're at a spot where, like, we're probably going to play the best golf that we're going to play. Let's be honest, like, when we're 45, we might not be playing great golf. Our kids are also going to be in like middle school, high school. They're going to be doing events. We're going to lose a lot of people for those types of things. So I think we're in the golden age right now. And I really
Scotland.
So I will announce a teaser though for GRC 10, which will be in, what's that, 3 years? We will be absolutely 100% doing Big Cedar Lodge. So that will be the 10th year.
Yes,
it's cards and all that.
Start saving now.
Yeah, start saving now. It'll be about $2,500, probably maybe a little less, maybe $2,200, somewhere around there.
Done.
Which isn't terrible for the value you get. It's actually pretty spectacular.
Venmo you my deposit right now.
Yeah. But for the next couple, like this year was so amazing, and I want to keep the momentum. You know, Quentin brought up a good point. Like, where do you want to take it? What do you want to do? What's the content? Like, I just want to keep making it better. And I want that to be better so that more people join, but also the people that have been here, they keep getting an awesome experience and a golf trip every year, whether it's friends, competition, whether it's, you know, just whatever it is. I think being at a new place and having that like new experience will be critical. So I want to go to a new location next year.
Yeah,
There's two places I've been evaluating. The one that I thought was like is where we're going to go absolutely, and now we're running into some cost issues, is because of the 2027 PGA Championship will be played at that course in like 2 months from when we would be there. And that's Fields Ranch at PGA Frisco in outside of Dallas.
Oh, yes, bro. You got to make that happen.
Omni Resort. I'm in deliberation with the team trying to wear them down. It's a timing thing because you can't go to Dallas in February. It's just not a good idea. It could be amazing, but it's a risk. So early March, I was trying to go mid-March for March Madness to have like the games on the big screen out there and have you know, bets flying around and all that. But they're booked out for like, I'm estimating maybe 72 people. So they're booked out for mid-March, but the beginning of March, they are available. The issue is that a dynamic pricing, because in 2 months, that's where on the East course is where the PGA Championship would be played. So the setup as it currently stands would be the West, day one would be the West, which there's two courses there, West and East. East is where they're playing the 2027 PGA. So you go to the West, you do the charity thing, the ice house is right there, you have dinner, we do the charity raffle, and then the live draft. And then on Friday, there's an LPGA event course called Old American. It's at the Golf Club of the Tribute. It's about 10 minutes up the road. We go there for Friday's round, and because it's like $200 and it's an incredible track. I've played it many times. And then on Saturday, come back, you play PGA Frisco course again. There's also a light up par three that's 10 holes, Casamigos tequila truck halfway through. So on Friday night, we'd have a par three competition after the scramble round. And then on Saturday night, a putting competition on that 27 hole putting course. And on Sunday, the real kicker is the East course, walking with caddies for the Sunday singles of the GRC.
Yes. And for those of you that don't know, this is like the premier Omni Resort course. It is.
There's seven pools, set rooftop pools. Like the food is spectacular. The vibes are immaculate. And yeah, I think walking a PGA Championship course on Sunday for the GRC with caddies for each team, just incredible. But the cost is going through the roof right now because of this dynamic pricing. So I'm trying to wear them
down.
Why
are you estimating 72 people? Is that what you said?
That's what I'm estimating, yeah. We were at 56 this year, and based on the feedback, I think it's going to grow like another 16 people.
Yeah, so, I've already had people reach out, want to be part of it next year.
I always overestimate too, because it's easier to whittle down than it is to add to contracts. So
yeah. I love how it's not even been 2 weeks and you're already on the ball, dude.
Also, I was working with this like booking agency, and they gave me this price quoting for a group that's coming in June, and it's a lesser group. And I was like, oh, that's like, we're in, this is where we're going. And then it got to the point where they were going to charge me like a percentage for the, you know, the booking and organization. I'm like, I don't need that. I got it all figured out. So they're like, go straight to the course. I went to the course thinking, okay, I'm going to get, you know, the best possible pricing. And she hasn't given me a number yet. So I don't want to like totally put the kibosh on it, but I keep asking for like estimates, and the estimates for the per round price seem like they're going to put us just way above what I think would be great for the GRC. So all this being said, if it doesn't happen this year, we'll go there for year 9. And we'll find up time like April, late March, whatever. And there won't be the PGA Championship coming right after, and it'll probably be more affordable. But it's, Richie knows, like this place is just going to keep going up and up and up and up in price. I've played these courses a bunch and when they first opened, and it's already way more than then. So if we're going to do it, we got to kind of get there pretty soon.
So what's the backup plan?
The backup plan is still tentative. But right now I'm leaning Utah, and I'm leaning Black Desert, Sand Hollow, and a couple of other courses, and doing the charity thing at Black Desert. So the first day is like you're just launching into Black Desert. Everyone's playing their own ball with their boys. It's not a pressure tournament round, charity thing, everything else like this, and then head out to St. George after that. The only issue, no casinos within an hour, all that type of stuff. And, you know, it's kind of a trek to get to, but I think that's a great second option, and it's something new. And I'll probably lean that way more so than,
I mean,
don't want to go back to Palm Desert. Don't want to do Arizona again next year. So trying to kind of mix
it
up.
I think if it being a stay and play, I mean, dude, we're guys. We're so easy to be amused. If there's TV and food, and we're going to figure stuff out to do, bro. 100%. Like, it, casino, trust me, I'm pro casino. I had a lot of fun playing some blackjack and stuff with the boys. Yeah. But yeah, dude, we'll be fine. We'll figure some out. We can always play poker games in the rooms and stuff like that. So that's what we did out in Palm Springs.
So, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mushrooms and poker.
I was going to say, when you're talking about that night golf, I'm like, oh, that is mushroom city right there, bro. Dude, 100%
so fun. Insane. Imagine this too, Q. If there's going to be CTPs on every hole.
Yeah.
So there's 10 sick. Holes.
And Quinn's like, I'm not doing that.
Maybe seven, yeah, 70 people. The CTPs are going to be like three. It's going to win on like 3 inches, beats out 7 inches. Which,
by the way,
usually does.
How many CP3s did you get on day three?
What's that?
Austin, how many CP3 or CPTs did you get on day three?
Oh, dude, I got none on day three. Or day,
hey,
yeah, none
stole
on day
mine.
Three. I
stole
won on mine. Day one and two.
Yeah.
And then on day three, I got none. Richie, that actually brings me up. Remember that one where, like, should we measure this? It was like 25 feet. Only one other person hit the green closer, and it was like 19 feet.
Yeah, that wind was howling, bro.
That wind was howling.
Dude, I thought I had
that
mine.
One was not a chance of holding. The other one that I was really close on, you someone like almost got a hole in one.
Someone, yeah, no, I knew that, though. That was an easy shot.
Someone, like, lipped out or, like, right there.
50-some golfers from 130 yards, someone's going to stick it.
I know. And they had the down, it was like, had the downhill pin where it was going to trickle back down.
I thought James
stole one from me, I think.
No, you stole from me because I had a 200-yard par 3 that I put, like, I think 7 feet. And I was like, me and our group was like, dude, that's in the bag.
Yeah, 11 at Cholla.
Yeah, I was like, bro, no one's touching that. 200 yards? Come on. And then, sure as shit, I text Austin like, hey, man, did I get that close to the pin? He's like, no, I got you.
Dude. No, but you won the vessel bag.
They were terrible. I kid you not, James. I could not find the center of the face with an iron that whole day. And I get on that hole and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to kind of like loosen up my arms a little bit and just like swing smooth. I got nothing to lose here. It's a 200-yard par 3. I'm probably not even going to hit this green. And I just nut flushed this 5-iron on a perfect thing.
Same shot.
Loosed arm, boom, just hit up and just trickled right up next to it. That was it. It was the only good shot I hit all day with the iron.
Yeah, your iron play was money, dude. Watching you were all over the par threes on our last match.
Yeah, the final
day. It's so fun hearing about all your struggles the first 2 days.
Oh, dude. I would say that you could ask Andy about it. Andy was like, this guy's about to jump off a bridge. It was bad. I felt so bad for Tony and Will playing. Like, it was hard to watch. I mean, I duffed probably 6 chips, like full on duffed them.
That's like, just reassuring to hear, dude. Honestly,
it was bad.
Yeah,
that was just that was great. What else to do, man? It was, but yeah, I found it. All my qualifiers in California are like in July and June, and then May. So I have not been practicing. Like, hand up, I work at a place with simulators. I haven't hit here in like 3 or 4 months, maybe more. I don't practice. I play Torrey Pines, but I do waitlist and there's no warm up and it's just for the walk and vibes and everything. My game's just up and down. It'll get stable at some point, but I just got kids and other things and it's just, I don't have the time to grind on it, but we'll get there.
Where in San Diego are you again?
I just rented a house in San Marcos, actually, near Twin Oaks Golf Course, if you know where that is.
Shafe Daddy's up there, bro. He just moved up there.
Is he? Yeah, where's he at, dude? He was like an OG GRC legend, and then he just vanished.
Dude, he did 2 or 3 years, and then that was a wrap for him. I don't know, man. Me and Will didn't try to get him to come every year, but
crazy.
You know, it is what it is. So.
Be nice to have him back. He's a good vibe.
He's so much fun, dude. He is literally one of the funnest people to golf with. So, I know we're coming up on time, and I buffered this for an hour. Commission, I know you have an idea of where this is going to go. My dream for it is it becomes nationwide and we have multiple tournaments all throughout the year. And this is your full-time gig because you crush it, man. I want to publicly apologize if you took offense to the things I said on the last podcast. But please, extra small is my size. So just tell me what you're fucking buying and I'll buy it myself.
On that note, I'm going to need to order one of those hoodies, dog.
Yeah.
Send me an email. Seriously.
I figured out the play. The play is the hoodie under the quarter zip.
Yes. 100%. 100% perfect. Play. Yeah, that's the move. Or a vest over the hoodie also works. I've done that. That's also nice. But yeah, send me an email. So I get discounts at all these places. Not the Nolan discount with Travis Matthew, but I'm just taking everybody's email and then I'm going to submit like a big order to the group here. So yeah, just send me an email with whatever you want. And it doesn't... So yeah, cat's out of the bag. I told everyone one purchase because I just don't want to keep like ordering and this and that. But if you guys want clubs or anything like higher value, I can get it at any time as long as I'm still a member here. So yeah, for like hoodies and everything else, send me an email. I'll do a bulk order. But if 3 months down the road, you're like, I need a new driver, I need a wedge or whatever.
Does Gabe know you can get discounts on clubs? Because that motherfucker
needs like Goodwill to get Gabe his stuff, dude. Gabe get Goodwill clubs for sure.
I love it. Well, yeah, I'll check out the youth large sizes and I'll let you know if any of them fucking will look good for me.
You're gonna be an OG next year, Quentin. That's your real punishment.
That's okay. Fuck it. I'll rock whatever. It doesn't matter, bro. GRC. Yeah,
this is awesome, dude. The fact that you guys even do a podcast and talk about it, it means everything to me. Yeah. And I appreciate it. It's all love always.
Always love. And by the way, just a real quick teaser, in 2 weeks, James and I are having a hypnotherapist on who specializes in golf. So that'll be a fun conversation. Stay tuned on that one.
100%. You should try to get Bob Rotella on.
You should.
Yeah, I should try to get a lot of people on.
You should try and do a lot more, Quinn.
Yeah, I should really try harder.
Well, Quentin told me I need to quit my job and do full-time GRCs. So
hell
I mean,
yeah.
That's inspiring. Agreed.
Dude, we want to be YouTube golfers, bro. That's the dream, dude. Give me that life, bro. I'm telling
we
you.
We need to do a great job 1 year, whether it's next year or the 10th or whatever, of like filming the matches and like filming the moments and this and that.
Yeah.
Because that's actually what would blow up. I just don't know how. We got to collaborate on that. I don't know how to do it.
If it's helpful, I mean, Quentin, I think I can speak for me and Quentin. We have a shit ton of equipment because we can help with equipment. But the only problem is
bodies.
Yeah.
The hard part with YouTube golf is like, yeah, I'll go play around and you can fucking record me and I'll be silly and say crazy shit. Who's going to come out and film me and not want to play? You know, and they need to do that for 4 hours. You know, that's
well, if it's
the hard
once
part.
A year, though, I think we can get.
That's true.
If you guys have equipment, I think that's. I mean, honestly, I don't even know where to start. So equipment's a great start, but
yeah,
I think we can find the warm bodies to get out there and do it. It doesn't have to be spectacular filming. We're like, hey, hold this camera. We will give you. I'll give you. I don't know, $500, and then you figure it out. You go film it. We'll do the editing. Just give us the raw footage.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it's something we can definitely have a placeholder on, and we can kind of help out when that.
And you guys have the GoPros for like the car cams and stuff.
Yep, we have two GoPros. Yeah,
this is it, dude. Drone. We have a whole year plus to figure this out. We got to keep this going.
You can get Riley to come fly the drone.
Oh yeah,
we need a drone.
Yeah,
we need one drone flyer for sure. Yep. and a couple camera guys. That's pretty much it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, we'll figure it out, man. I'm pumped. Thanks again for joining us, Commissioner, the man, bro. I appreciate you, brother. The rest of the squad, we'll run this back again. And yeah, I hope you guys have a killer day.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming and bringing your friends. Keep doing it. It's awesome to have you. And it was an awesome GRC. You guys made it the best. So appreciate all you guys.
Hell yeah.
Back at thanks, you, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
See you, brother.
See you guys.
Peace.